south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, back in the saddle again. Hey, wouldn't you really like to know what Latinos who live in Latin America think about all the gringos piling in? No, not what they're thinking about when they're smiling and talking to you, but what are they saying behind your back, behind closed doors, to each other? Sure, we'll always have that gringo advantage going for us, except on the major tourist trails. That disappeared a long time ago. Now we're just dollar signs. But in the rest of Latin America, that's 95% of everywhere else, where most gringos and expats on vacation fear to tread. In a way, we should be thankful for that, because that's where your gringo advantage is alive and well. By the way, did you know there are really three tourist trails in Latin America? There's the gringo tourist trail. We all know that one. Costa Rica, Cancun, and the rest of the Mayan Riviera being prime examples. And of course, any city or town where a cruise ship stops. Then there's the upscale Latino tourist trail, where Latinos with some money go on their vacation weekends, etc. It's often the case that rich and upper middle class Latinos have a beach house on the tourist trail, but not the gringo tourist trail. It's the Latino tourist trail, as mentioned. Good example being the beach town of Monte Rico in Guatemala. It's a Pacific Ocean beach town with a long strip of vacation homes and beach houses, almost exclusively owned by upper middle class and wealthy Latinos and MAGAist political scumbags. Of course, I mean that in the most kind and Christian sort of way. The odd thing, though, is in places like that, Monte Rico, since there are very few zoning laws, and that goes for most all of Latin America, especially out in the boonies. And if they do have them, they don't enforce them much. That means you can visit a place like Monte Rico and see many beautiful beach houses with pools and the works. Some worth big bucks, too. They'd be $500,000, a million, even more up in the States. You'll see row after row of houses like that, but interspersed between those houses, you'll often see a dilapidated beach house, even a tin shack with ocean frontage. When you're walking up and down the beach, you can't help but notice that and think, how'd that happen? By the way, those dilapidated properties can often be golden opportunities for gringos and expats who want to own beach houses themselves. You buy a piece of crap like that just for the beachfront, tear the shack down, and build what you like. So anyway, as mentioned, there are three distinct tourist trails in Latin America. Number one, the completely gringoized tourist trail like Costa Rica, where you pay first world prices all the way. Number two, you've got the upscale Latino tourist trail, where you'll find upscale Latinos, but practically no gringos because they haven't found the place yet, which I kind of like myself because the prices are nowhere first world, but the amenities are good to excellent, and you rarely run into knucklehead gringo tourists and their whiny entitled kids at all. And finally, number three, you've got the middle and lower middle class Latino tourist trail. Those would be weekend hotspots, mostly beaches too, that are very inexpensive and kind of rough around the edges, where you almost never see a gringo or expat. I confess, most of those places are just a little too rustic for me. I'm a fan of hot running water in the shower myself. Oh, and one more thing about tourist trails. In places that are 100% on the gringo tourist trail, like Cancun, Costa Rica, and so many places in Mexico, etc., there is some overlap between gringo tourists and upscale Latinos with dough. So if you happen to be on the gringo tourist trail, you'll find it's not all gringos on that trail. There are many, many upscale gringo wannabe Latinos, too. And from a distance, they're easy to spot, too. They usually are wearing some kind of t-shirt that says, I love New York, or has a Disney character on it. Oh, and Chicago Bulls and other sports t-shirt logos are big, too. Oh, and another thing, here's something you'll notice if you live down here long enough. You'll see almost no gringos and expats with any kind of clothing that has the American flag on it. But man, all you gotta do is plop yourself down, whether on or off the gringo tourist trail, in any place where there are lots of people, lots of traffic. And you'll see all kinds of people, exclusively Latinos, wearing clothes or other accessories with American flags on them, or the red, white, and blue. And a lot of newbie gringos and expats, when they see that, they think, oh man, that's so gaudy and excessive. What the hell are they trying to prove? In fact, not so long ago, I was in Cartagena, Colombia. I was at my hotel sitting in an outdoor cafe by the pool. And there were two ladies in lounge chairs next to the pool wearing matching red, white, and blue American flag bikinis. They were very attractive girls, too, so it kind of worked. But still, it was a real excessive statement. What were they thinking? Extreme gringo wannabes, maybe? You think? Look at it this way, all you American girls out there. Would you wear a bikini that was entirely made out of a Mexican or Bolivian or Colombian flag? I don't think so, even if it was high quality and you got it for free. I risk my case. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, back in Europe. Yep, I said Europe. I know it's a leap, but bear with me. Have you been to Europe lately, or even in the past 5 or 10 years? Well, I have a number of times, and I've never ever seen a person wear anything with the American flag on it. Why? Well, you know the story. Americans are not so well respected in Europe. They say we're too loud, we're rude, have no culture. To which my dad would always say, if it wasn't for us rude, cultureless, loudmouthed Americans, all of Europe would be speaking German right now. But I digress. Man, did I digress. Anyway, we started the show today trying to figure out what Latinos really think about us gringos and expats. What they're thinking behind closed doors. What they're saying behind our backs. Well, one thing's for sure, the farther you are from the gringo tourist trail, the more us gringos and expats shine in the eyes of the locals. Now, as far as what the locals are actually saying and thinking about us, there's some real data on this. In fact, the University of Cuenca in Ecuador have a research project going about how local Latinos feel about gringos and gringas who've been piling into their country. Turns out they've sampled opinions of hundreds of Cuenca locals. And here are some of the candid comments of the locals translated into English. Now remember, Ecuador is one of the countries considered on the gringo tourist trail. Ever since a few years back, the rag International Living listed Ecuador, specifically Cuenca, Ecuador, as the number one U.S. foreign retirement destination. And you longtime listeners know how I feel about international living and their recommendations. As far as I'm concerned, and there are many ways to prove this, the fastest way to drop a truckload of turds in paradise is to have that international living endorsement. Anyway, according to that university study, the number one complaint locals have about gringos and expats is that they don't make much effort to learn Spanish. No surprise there. What the local Latinos don't know is that that's the same complaint Americans up in the States make about Latinos who migrate north. You hear it all the time. Latinos arrive up in the States, and even after 5 or 10 years, they don't bother to learn any English. So it seems to be a universal problem. When Latinos make it to the States, they find barrios in which they don't have to speak any English. They take the easy way out. And when gringos come to Latin America, they find gringo tourist spots where they don't have to speak any Spanish. We take the easy way out, too. So then are gringos and expats just lazy and unmotivated? Well, maybe when it comes to learning the language, but definitely not when it comes to owning, operating, and starting up a business. That's where us gringos and expats excel. Oddly enough, even gringos and expats who come down knowing nothing of business, maybe they were a teacher in a past life, doesn't seem to matter much. They find a niche, start a business, and it takes off. All right, next on the list of complaints that Latinos have about gringos and expats living in their country. Get this comment. It says a lot. Foreigners, that is gringos and expats, are much better about following the pandemic health rules than us local Latinos are. I guess we all know the hidden message there. Gringos and expats are more sheep-like than the locals. That is, more likely to follow government and authoritarian orders than the locals. You longtime listeners have heard me say this many times before, but local Latinos have absolutely zero faith and trust in their government. Zero. Why? Because they've never done anything to improve their lives, and everything they touch turns to shit. Being from Chicago, that certainly sounds familiar. And why wouldn't Latinos think that way? Since in most Latin countries, a high percentage of their presidents, vice presidents, and cabinet members end up in prison or fugitives on the run. I know, it sounds bad, but at least they put them in prison. In the States, most politicians start out in office, middle or upper middle class, and walk out multimillionaires, even billionaires. And no one goes to jail. So then whose system do you prefer? The one whose sociopathic, scumbag, thieving politicians go to jail, or the U.S. political system, where once a maggotous, thieving politician's out of office, he ends up a hero, often a Nobel Prize recipient. He ends up on multiple defense contractors' boards of directors. He gets a $10 million advance for a ghost-written book that nobody reads, and gets $1 million for every boring half-hour speech he gives. Oh, and let's not forget all those secret invites to Epstein Island. There I go digressing again. Sorry about that. But if you'll allow me just one more digression on that same note about corrupt, pustulant politicians. Are there any other kind? Comes this little email from Harvey. He says, Johnny, I love that idea you spoke about in a previous show about term limits. When you said there should be just two terms, one term in office and one term in prison. Harvey says, yep, put those politicians in jail. Just the sound of that cell door slamming would be music to my ears. I'd personally pay the expenses to house one politician in prison if I got to choose the politician and the length of his sentence. Of course, he says, for certain types of crime, a length of rope would be much more cost-effective and satisfying, too. And in this era of bankrupt government finances. How about this idea, Johnny? A reality show called Celebrity Politician Lockup. We could make a deal with HBO and pay-per-view. What do you think, Johnny? Longtime listener, Harvey. All right, Harv, Celebrity Politician Lockup. I like it. And there could be three rotating hosts. Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, and O.J. Simpson. Good idea. When it hits pay-per-view, sign me up. All right, next on the list of Latino complaints about gringos and expats. This one says, what us Latinos can't help but notice about gringos is that one of their most important activities is drinking and eating out, which explains why so many of them are fat. The answer to that is they should buy their food at the big mercado, buy some healthy food and eat at home instead of eating out at restaurants all the time, though it seems gringos and expats mostly prefer unhealthy food. All right, me, Johnny, here with a little comment. You know, I can see why they say that about gringos and expats, but it seems to me Latinos are getting extremely fat, too. Yep, it's a case of the pot calling the kettle black. Wait a minute. Is that racist? Well, if it isn't, some pin-headed wokester will call me out on it shortly. And for you, I've got not one, but two middle fingers. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Latinos getting way too fat. And it's not necessarily because they want to follow the gringo example. It's just that in the last 10 years, so many gringo fast food joints have opened down here. And U.S. junk food companies like Frito-Lay, Jay's Potato Chips, and all the others have opened up factories here. Not to mention all the other local no-name junk food cheap clone brands that have popped up down here. The fact is, for the locals anyway, junk food used to be really expensive and just a treat for weekends and special occasions. It was just 5 or so years ago where you'd go to Kentucky Fried or McDonald's and it was date night. And during the week, those places weren't even a quarter full, often a tiny trickle of people walking in. And now, just like up in the States, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried, and all the rest are packed every day, not just date night weekends. And now, just like up in the States, 60 to 70% of Latinos are overweight or obese. Sadder yet, even up to 5 or 10 years ago, I'd never see a young kid who was fat or obese or overweight. And now you see little kids everywhere that look like pint-sized Thanksgiving Day Macy's balloons. I wonder now how much hate mail I'll get from mothers with fat kids. I know, it's glands, right? Not nice to make fun of little Georgie. He's got glands. I remember, that's what boomer mothers used to say in defense of their own fat kids back in the 60s and 70s. And there were very few back then. I remember in my grade school class, there was only one fat kid. And as I understand it, these days in grade schools up in the States anyway, there's only one skinny kid. God, I'm offending everyone today, aren't I? All right, the next on this list of local comments about gringos and expats, this isn't exactly a complaint. In fact, it's just a comment. It says, back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s, most Latino adult mature men wore a Panama hat and or a splash or a touch of indigenous clothing. Today, it's the gringos and expats who wear Panama hats and a touch of indigenous colorful clothing. Then it goes on to say, except for our clothing and styles, gringos rarely adopt our other cultural ways. All right, next on the list of Latino comments about gringos and expats is a complaint. Funny enough, this complaint is about gringos who complain. We wonder why they want to live here if they are so unhappy. It's true, it says, that many things don't work as they should in Latin America, but there are many great things about Latin America that are underappreciated by gringos and expats. All right, me, Johnny, here again. I think that most chronic gringo complainers were the same way when they lived up in the States. It's true, there are some gringos that complain about everything. Some expats you dread meeting up with because you know they're just going to talk your ear off about some minor tragedy or inconvenience that happened at the bakery or the hardware store. I mean, really, how many times have you been walking down the hardware store or grocery aisles and you saw someone, they didn't see you, and you ducked into another aisle because you just didn't feel like talking with them? And you knew if they did, they'd bring a negative vibe. I've done that, have you? And back in the States, I'd do that when I spotted an old girlfriend. I don't know about you, but me and my old girlfriends never ended up as friends. Is that normal? Probably not. Oh, and here's an interesting one off that list. It says it's hard to understand why gringos and expats love their cars so much, even if they live in a town or an area where you can walk everywhere. They'll buy a nice car, keep it in the garage most all of the time, and take it out just to drive to the hardware store or food market 3 blocks away. All right, here's another from the list. It says, the thing that bothers many Latinos about some of the gringos and expats is they think they know everything. They don't know Spanish or the history of our country, but they have all the answers to our problems anyway. That makes us wonder if they're so smart, why they're down here, and why they didn't fix things in the countries they came from. Oh, and here's another one on the list that's about the pandemic. It says, during the pandemic, most of the gringo foreigners seemed scared to death. My neighbor from California never came out of her apartment and ran away or backed off whenever I got near her. All right, Johnny here again. That reminds me of a year or so ago. Remember I told that story about when I was walking along a busy pedestrian area with lots of outdoor cafes and such? I had no mask on, of course. And I saw my friend, former corrupt Boston policeman Bob. Now, I'm not judging him as corrupt. It's something he admits himself. Anyway, he was sitting with three other expats at an outdoor cafe, all of them wearing masks. And as I approached, one of the guys, but not Bob, held up his hands and said, "Get away unless you put your mask on." Well, I called him a lemming and told him in so many words he needed a brain transplant, and I kept walking. Well, about a year later, 3 or 4 months ago, I'm walking past the very same place. I walk up to the same table. It's Bob's usual table, with Bob and the same three guys sitting there. Hey, that's what a lot of retired gringo expats do. They hang out and have their little coffee clutches at their favorite outdoor cafes. This time, none of them had a mask on. And of course, I don't either. I never wear one unless absolutely forced to. Well, I stood there for a second and gave those guys a good hard look, just so they'd recall the last time we met. That's when I said to the guy who waved his hands at me last time, I said, "I see that brain transplant worked out for you." He didn't say anything, but I noticed he turned a slight shade of pink. But let's get back to this list. How about this one? It says, unfortunately, most of the gringos and expats who come down here to live are old. I wish more young gringos were living here. It goes on to say, Ecuador is just filled with gringos and expats who are sometimes referred to as old farts in the States. All right, me, Johnny, with a comment. Just remember, this survey was given by university students. So imagine they asked a lot of adolescent and 20-something Latinos to give their responses. And the truth is, the vast majority of gringos and expats who can afford to move to a Latin country are going to be, quote, old farts. Because young people, even if they have the desire, don't have the capital and resources. All right. Here's a telling comment on that list. It says, in National Geographic magazine, Cuenca, Ecuador is rated as a number one spot for gringo retirees. Ecuador is on the map now as an international retirement destination. It says it's good that some people come, but hopefully not too many of them. As the gringos keep coming, it says, it's made it impossible for local people to buy real estate. The prices are skyrocketing. They're making property unaffordable for the locals. All right, let's continue with this list. And this time, let's read a couple of short personal stories, personal encounters Latinos have had with gringos that elicited certain comments, mostly negative. This lady, Alexa, says, I saw a gringa at Supermax. That's a big supermercado here. She was wearing three face masks and a plastic helmet with a visor. I wanted to ask her if she was signed up for one of Elon's moonshots. All right, meet Johnny here again. And that, once again, speaks to the fact that so many gringos and expats who come down, especially the ones that end up on a tourist trail because they want to speak English, are nothing but cheap. Yet another reason why I won't live on the gringo tourist trail. Though, as mentioned in many previous shows, I don't mind living close to a very low-key gringo tourist trail, half an hour or an hour away, because there are some advantages to being able to pop in and out when you feel like it, because on the tourist trail, there are many, many things to do. But you heard my qualifier. Very low-key gringo tourist trail, like Antigua, Guatemala, for example, or the Lake District in Guatemala, or the small town of Copan on the border of Guatemala and Honduras. So, besides the gigantic Mayan ruins of Petén, those are considered the three major tourism areas in Guatemala, and they're eco-tourism spots. Oh, and just a comment about El Salvador's tourist trail. Well, there really isn't one yet, except in that little area called Bitcoin Beach. And that's pretty much always been a stop on the international surfing circuit. But that's a tiny sliver of a diehard community that ever gets to check that out. However, the adoption of Bitcoin in El Salvador has brought a lot of crypto tourism, if there is such a thing, and there is. Man, talk about being on the ground floor of an explosion. Already, real estate and land prices in and around Bitcoin Beach are taking off. But still, if you've got cash or Bitcoin, you can still get some great deals, but they won't last. not with those huge crypto tax incentives the country's offering. That means it won't be mostly common guys coming in to settle, but mostly people with big money, crypto money. But where were we? Oh yeah, back to the Latino complaint list, complaints about gringos and expats. Remember, this is from a study done by graduate students at the University of Cuenca. Here's a little comment from that survey. It says, I saw two large gringas get in my taxi last week, and each one of them must have weighed 100 kilos. That's 220 pounds. I thought, aye, my poor shock absorbers. Between the potholes in El Centro and the heavy foreigners, I know I will pay more on repair of my suspension this year. I'm only half serious when I say this because I like foreigners and appreciate their business. However, I do know there are some taxi drivers who overcharge them too. And then this comment from Maria. She says, I notice that old expats go to the bars and restaurants early in the evening. They rarely mix with younger expats. The old and gray ones go home by 9. Then the young gringo expats come out and start partying with the locals. My point is, she says, you don't see young and old gringos mixing together. They stay apart. They seem to be two separate entities. All right, me Johnny here with a comment on that. I think that sort of negative comment comes from the fact that most Latino families have grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, the kids, and the grandkids all living in the same house. There's really no age gap separation because they're all under one roof. Although, that doesn't mean 18-year-old Verna is going to bring grandma on a date with her. But you often see whole Latino families having fun on weekends, hanging together. From the grandkids to the great-grandparents, weekend barbecues, afternoon picnics, they love getting together. And if they have the dough, take the whole gang out to McDonald's or Pollo Campero. It's just so common to see whole families hanging out all together. Up in the States, it seems, the only time whole families get together is if there's a wedding, funeral, or some kind of special event. When's the last time your extended family had a get-together and it wasn't something like Thanksgiving? And Latinos notice those kind of cultural differences amongst us gringos and expats. Anyway, I could read more of these little items off this list, but I'll end with this one, which says a lot about gringos and expats living exclusively amongst gringos and expats in gringo tourist enclaves, like Boquete, Panama. This is a comment from Mr. Juan T. He says, I lived for 3 years in the mountains of Panama, Boquete, and the gringos there acted superior to the local people because they had more money. Most of the gringos seemed to be alcoholics there and had bad or poor relations with the locals. All right, me Johnny here, there you have it. A little taste of what local Latinos think about gringos who are moving into their country. And what they're thinking and saying about us behind our backs. In some cases, not so complimentary, huh? By the way, speaking of how gringos and expats jack up prices on the gringo tourist trail, I just got this email from a New Yorker who is well along on his plan B. That is, he's liquidating everything and ready to come down. This is from Zeb, Z-E-B. He says, Johnny, rents are strangling me here in New York City. The average rent for a one-bedroom apartment is now $3,250 a month, a 30% increase from last year. That according to the online rental platform Zumper, Z-U-M-P-E-R. Meanwhile, I understand I could get a nice one- or two-bedroom apartment in a gated guarded community for around $500 or $600 a month in a very nice area down by you, where I might add the weather is perfect. Then he says, it makes me sick to think of how much money I spent in rent in the last 8 years living in New York. I could have bought one or two or even three properties free and clear in Latin America for what I've dumped on rent. I try not to think about that, and when I do, it makes my resolve even stronger to get the hell out of Dodge. Signed, Zeb. P.S. T-minus 6 months and counting. All right, Zeb. Speaking of real estate here in Latin America, here's an email from repeat offender Mr. D., who just finished off the seminar with me. He writes, hey, Johnny, this is Mr. D. I'm a new property owner now in Antigua. We closed on Thursday night. Other repeat offender, Miss S. and I split the property. Maybe you can do a show on how to buy property in less than a week in Antigua. It's a pretty amazing property, too. Everything just fell into place perfectly. In fact, we could build two houses on it. It's been an incredible journey, and it seems like it's just begun. And now I'm sitting in San Salvador, and I fly out tomorrow at 7 a.m. to the States. I plan on coming back down in June. Perhaps we can meet then. Then he says, seminar coordinator Rita is simply amazing. I could not have done it without her. You truly have an amazing crew. I can't thank you enough, so I thank you again. Peace and love, Mr. D. Thanks for that, Mr. D. Nice to see it's all working out for you. And now an email from another seminar attendee, Mr. C. He says, Johnny, I've heard every Expat Files show. And it occurred to me a person could get a bachelor's or master's degree in Latin American studies, if such a thing exists, and it wouldn't be as good as listening to all your shows. You've got hundreds of hours of information touching every topic. What's a typical college class, like 30 hours in a semester? Your show would be like 35 separate courses. Just food for thought, signed, Mr. C. Well, Mr. C, thanks for the kudos there, but you know, I get emails and suggestions all the time that I should put up a Zoom course for living in Latin America. Well, you know, that could be good for some subjects, but I tell you, the only way to really see and feel and smell and breathe Latin America is to come down and get boots on the ground. That's why I haven't resorted to doing any of those Zoom classes, even though I have people prodding me to do so all the time, and I've resisted. And when I don't want to do something, man, I just don't do it. For example, take my resistance to being on anti-social media. I'm not on Facebook, Twaddle, Instacrap, or TrickCock. And still, the show has been downloaded millions of times. Though that's not to say people don't attack me on anti-social media. Hell, there are lots of low-IQ woke people out there who diss me all the time on anti-social media. I know that. There are haters. Listeners send me those snippets all the time. The trick is to ignore those fools. Like that panicky, masked, woke guy at that little outdoor cafe with corrupt Boston cop Bob. All the haters really need is a brain transplant, like that masked guy. Oh, and lastly, here's an email from Mr. T. No, no, not the black guy with a mohawk and the 50 pounds of gold chains. If you remember him, you're definitely a boomer. Anyway, this is from seminar attendee Mr. T. He says, Johnny, excellent information, thank you. It was a real pleasure to meet you, and I'm definitely glad I attended the seminar. This was my fifth trip to Guatemala in 15 months, and I thought you were just making up that garbage about the clear eyes, that is, blue eyes or ojos claros, because I never heard it once in all my trips down. Well, Johnny, not sure what was different this time, but I had three different women approach me and comment, in their words, on my beautiful blue eyes. I gotta say, I was loving that. Then he says, listen, Johnny, I know that this seminar must have been an absolute logistical nightmare, but you guys really pulled it off. I did hear one or two of the gringos grumbling and kvetching, but those are the ones who probably should stay in the U.S. and maybe move to Mexico. If you can't deal with a few tumalos in your life, a.k.a. speed bumps, then maybe Central America isn't your best option. Anyway, Johnny, please give my sincere thanks to Jose, Rita, Captain Mango, Nacho, and Chase. They all did such a fantastic job, and I'll see you again soon. Nos vemos for now, Mr. T.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.